This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله سبحانه وتعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with many blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن تُعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to try to enumerate the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you would never be able to do so. And in counting the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, let us take a look today at the greatest of these blessings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed each and every one of us here today with Islam, the religion in which we submit to our one Creator, and whom we worship alone, without any partners and without any associates. And it is our responsibility, having this great blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, to share this blessing with everyone else. And this is why we see that the messengers and the prophets, they were sent for this one reason, to spread the message of Islam, to spread the kalima of La ilaha illallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in describing the messengers and the prophets, he says, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ, that we have sent messengers as warners and givers of glad tidings, so that there may not be a proof for mankind against Allah after the messengers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the responsibility and the duty of the messengers, that it is to give da'wah to the people. It is to give them the glad tidings of Jannah for those of us who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone and do righteous deeds. And at the same time, it is to warn the people of fisq and fasad and kufr and shirk, that if they don't turn back to their Creator and they don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, then for them is a severe and painful punishment. This was the job of the messengers. This was the job of the best of mankind. Now, in implementing this job and implementing this task, obviously it would not be an easy one. Every single messenger and prophet went through some sort of hardship. Each and every one of them. And it was all due to their obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in calling to this noble message. And as we know, each and every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was from the humans. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create messengers and prophets to mankind except from amongst them. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them. And it is from human nature that when people go against us, when things don't go our way, when things get hard and we are in times of adversity, that we get weak in our spirits. Our emotions tend to get the best of us, and we need something to help us and something to uplift our spirits. And such was the case of the Prophet ﷺ when he was in Mecca. He would see that his companions were being tortured, and he would see that there was no one there to help them. And he would see that due to this kalima of La ilaha illallah, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, that they were being tortured and exiled from their homes. And due to the human nature of the Prophet ﷺ, he too at times, his emotions went down, his enthusiasm went down. And one of the greatest miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in a state of sadness, while he was not in the strongest of states, was the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the story of Yusuf as نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ, that indeed we relate to you and we tell you the best of stories, so that the spirits of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam may be uplifted. Now, generally as human beings, when we tell stories to one another, it's often to entertain and to just pass the time. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells stories in the Qur'an, it's not to entertain us. It's not just for the sake of factual information, but rather lessons are to be derived from it. And thus was the case from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent this story to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and revealed it upon him, not only was it to uplift his spirits, but was to teach him several lessons as well. The first thing that we learn from the revelation of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was its miraculous nature. Why was the story of Yusuf alayhi salam miraculous in nature? Firstly, as we see, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is a story that the Christians and the Jews believe in as well. That he was a messenger to them just as he was to us. We both accept this. And that's why it was such a big miracle that we knew the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was an unlettered man. He didn't have any scholastic education. He didn't learn to read and write. And that's why for him to tell the story was a big miracle, because they knew that he couldn't read the Torah, he didn't read the Injil, he didn't read the previous books that were revealed to mankind. So how could he know the story in such detail? It had to be a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another lesson that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taught through this was the importance and the methodology of giving da'wah to the people. This was, as we described, the wazifa or the task of all the messengers and the prophets. Like it was a task for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was a task for Yusuf alayhi salam as well. Now, this task of the prophets, is it something that they do hard time, or is it something that they do full time? An obvious answer is it is something that they do at all times. And that is what makes it so difficult, that at all times they're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at all times they're calling the people to good, and at all times they're telling the people to refrain from evil. Now, the hardest of tasks is when you're in a state of adversity. When you're in a state of adversity, to call the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to remain focused. Now, we all know the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, so I'm not going to go into the details of the story. But today, let us focus on some certain parts of it. And that certain part being when Yusuf alayhi salam was sent to the prison. When Yusuf alayhi salam was sent to the prison, what was his first few statements? He said to the people, أَأَرْبَابٌ مُتَفَرِّقٌ خَيْرٌ أَمِ اللَّهُ الْوَاحِدُ الْقَحَّارِ. He said, that are these different deities that you worship better, or is Allah the one, the irresistible? So even though Yusuf alayhi salam was wrongly accused of having illicit relationships, something which he didn't do, and he was innocent of this, and obviously this had gotten him down, and he was unjustly put in prison, Yusuf alayhi salam still remembered his test of giving da'wah to the people. And this was the first lesson for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this story, that regardless of what happens to his companions, to his family, and to anyone close to him, it is up to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to continue giving da'wah to the people. And this is an example for us as well. We look at the state of the Muslims and they're being attacked everywhere. We find sadness in our hearts and tears in our eyes. But this should not prevent us and should not stop us from giving da'wah to the people. If we want to be the best of mankind, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes this ummah, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ تَعْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that indeed you are the best of nations sent unto mankind, for indeed you call to that which is good and you forbid that which is evil. If we want to be from the best of ummahs, and we want to be from those people who implement the ways of the prophets and the messengers, we have to remember to give da'wah to the people at all times. And this da'wah is to the biggest blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to all of us. The blessing of al-Islam, to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just look at how big of a blessing it is, that through this blessing of Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates between the two parties, the party going to Jannah and the party going to Jahannam. The party going to Jannah are the people who submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for them is every single thing that they desire. Anything that your heart will desire in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that they shall have everything that they desire, and we will give them even more than that. Now on the other hand, the people who don't accept Islam and abandon the way of their natural disposition, the natural way of their fitrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created us, He created us upon a natural disposition, a fitrah, or that which we naturally incline to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed this in every single human being, that when they hear about Islam, they naturally have an inclination towards it. That it is only logical that you worship your one creator. It is only logical that the one who created you and sustains you and granted you sight and granted you hearing and granted your family is the only one worthy of worship. This is something that mankind has understood, and this is why very seldom or very few of them are actually atheists. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this naturally in us. So now going back to the lessons from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam in this particular detail, is that not only is it important to give da'wah at all times, in times of prosperity and times of adversity, as this was the ways of the Messenger, but also from the characteristics of the da'i, is that he does good towards the people. How did the two companions of Yusuf alayhi salam describe Yusuf alayhi salam when he came into the prison? They said, "Inna lanaraka min al-muhsinin," that indeed we see you as a person who does good. We see you as a person who is righteous towards the people, and he helps them and he takes care of them. So this is another example, another lesson for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and for us. That when giving da'wah to the people, you have to take care of them. You can't just come up to them and start giving them a message which might be new to them, they might never heard of it. But rather, you need to learn to soften their hearts. Learn to soften their hearts and make them feel welcomed and make them feel comfortable. This is something we all need to focus on, that when we give the message of Islam, whether it be to fellow Muslims, we're guiding them closer to the Sunnah, or whether it be to the non-Muslims, don't try to just go up to them and start giving them da'wah, even though this sometimes is an effective way. But a more effective way is do some sort of good to them. Invite them over for lunch, invite them over for dinner, buy them a present, buy them something that they are in need of, or take care of some of the needs of their family, and then give them da'wah. This was the way of the Anbiya and the Mursaleen. And this is what we see that Yusuf alayhi salam did. This is why they describe him, إِنَّا لَنَرَاكَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that indeed we see you of those people who do good. Now let us take a few examples from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the time of his companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. As for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we know that when he gave da'wah first to the Quraysh and to his family, how did he invite them? He invited them over for dinner and prepared a meal for them, and then proclaimed the message that he had for them, that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the companions, how did Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu go about giving his da'wah? He looked at those people who were being persecuted by the Quraysh, the likes of Bilal and the likes of Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf, and other than them, these people, they were Hunafa and they were being worshipped, they were being punished and persecuted by the Quraysh. So he went and he freed them. He went and uplifted the adversities and the hardships upon them. If they were in need of money, he gave them the money, and then he gave them the da'wah. This is the type of ihsan that we need to do towards the people when we give them da'wah. And this is how you will win over their hearts, and this is how you will become more successful in your da'wah. Point number three is that as a da'i, you have to be good in your appearance. When we go and give da'wah to the people, make sure that your appearance is not one of disgust or not one that repels the people. As we see and as we know of Yusuf alayhi salam, he was the best looking of mankind. And this is a fadl or a blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave particular to him, that he was from the most beautiful of men ever created. And as for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was described as beautiful. Someone who, when he used to walk through the rooms used to start smelling of his fragrance. And when he used to dress, he used to dress in the best clothes that he had when giving the da'wah. And this is what we see from the examples of the pious predecessors as well. The likes of Imam Malik, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that he would not go and teach hadith to the people except that he would put on his finest garments. And this is what they understood. That in order to give da'wah to the people, you have to take care of your appearance. Be someone who looks clean. Be someone who's wearing nice clothes. Be someone whose fragrance is good, not only from his body, but from his mouth as well. And all this will have an effect. As they say, the first impression is the impression that lasts the longest. And the first impression that people get from you is what they see of you when they see you walking from a distance. So before your words have any effect on them, your appearance has already has made an effect. And this is what we need to remember. That take care of your appearance and you will see that your da'wah will become more effective. And another lesson that we learn from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is that when Yusuf alayhi salam was in prison, he told one of his companions that you will soon be free, you will soon be serving the king. Make sure you mention my name to him so that I may be set free and justice may be served for me. But his companion forgot. His companion forgot. Now just imagine, one of you has been accused of something you didn't do. And you're unjustly put in jail, unjustly imprisoned. And then you tell one of your companions one small task. Just mention my name in front of the governor and mention it in front of the ruler and let him look into my case. And his companion forgets. How would you feel? You would feel disheartened. You would feel upset. You would feel angry. Yet Yusuf alayhi salam, when he met this person again, he did not get upset at him. He did not get angry at him. Yet, those people who were even more treacherous to him, his own brothers, when they threw him into the well, while they were plotting and planning to kill him, how did Yusuf alayhi salam address them at the end of the surah? He said, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. That there is no blame upon you today. And may Allah forgive you, and He is the most merciful out of those who are merciful. This is how Yusuf alayhi salam treated the people. And this is how we also see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam treated the people. Look into the seerah and you see the story of the people of Ta'if. That the people of Ta'if stoned the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and rejected him and threw rubbish upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in his bleeding sandals filled with blood, walked away. And then when Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said, I have the angels of the mountains with me. With your order I will crush the people of Ta'if. How was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He said, let them go and let them be. For perhaps one day a group may come from amongst them that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is point number four. That from the characteristics of the da'i and from the manhaj of the da'wah that we learn from the surah, from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, is that you have to be pardoning and forgiving. Those people that you work with may not always comply with you. People may not always do what you ask of them, and people will slip and make errors. but as a human being, as that righteous person, as that person who's giving da'wah and who is an example for the people, you have to learn and pardon, you have to learn to pardon and forgive the people. For this is the only way you will be successful. As it is human nature to make mistakes. If you look at the Quran, how many times does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention فَلْيَعْفُوا وَاصْفَحُوا, that let them pardon and let them be easygoing towards the people. Because people will make mistakes. No matter who you are, one day you are bound to make a mistake. And how would you like to be treated? Would you like people to reprehend you and be harsh and angry with you? Or do you want the people to be lenient and gentle with you and help you learn from your mistakes? As this was again the methodology of the prophets, that when people erred, they were gentle and lenient with them the vast majority of the time. And very seldom were they angry and upset with them so that they may learn. And with this, I end off. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. These are just some brief points that we take in the methodology of da'wah from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. And keeping again the historical context of the surah, we mentioned that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam came down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Mecca. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this story, it was to uplift the spirits of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to make it something miraculous. And we mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals a story, it is not out of jest and play, just to entertain mankind. And it is not just for factual information, but rather it is so that mankind may learn it and understand it and then implement it. So these points that we have mentioned here today, brothers and sisters, let us take it upon ourselves to implement these points. From the first of them is that we have been blessed with Islam, the greatest of blessings. And that we need to call the people to this blessing. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed you with this blessing, and you are here today to worship Him alone. Share this blessing with your family members, and your companions, and your neighbors, and your friends. For indeed, every single piece of guidance that you give to them and they implement, you will be rewarded for it as well. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to have one person guided is better than that of the red camels. Now if you look again at the historical context, the place of the camel in the early Arabian Peninsula, it was the most noblest of animals. Not only did it help you get through the desert climate, but also it was one that got you through fast. And as for the red camel, it was a camel that had soft and lined skin and fur, so that it wasn't uncomfortable when you rode it. So the Prophet ﷺ gave the parable here, that it was the best of riding beasts, it was the greatest of blessings. So that if one person is guided at your fingertips, know that you have obtained the greatest of possessions. That every single good deed he does, you will be blessed and granted reward for it as well. So this was point number one. Point number two, that you have to give da'wah at all times, in adversity and prosperity. We mentioned how Yusuf alayhi salam was persecuted in the prison for something which he didn't do. And likewise the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the people turned against him. And they screamed and shouted and cursed at him. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued with his message. So likewise, the state of the ummah today, don't let it get you down. For indeed the only way you will bring back the ummah to the state that it deserves is by firstly implementing Islam yourself and then calling the people to it. There is no other way. And this is seen in the profound statement of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he was with Abu Ubaidah, the Amin of this Ummah, when he said, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعِزَّنَا اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَإِذَا ذَهَبْنَا نَبْتَغِي الْعِزَّةَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ لِغَيْرِ الْإِسْلَامِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. That indeed we are a people and a nation who have been honored and granted respect by Islam. So if we go and seek honor and respect without Islam, then this is when Allah disgraces us. If you want to seek honor through your wealth, through your power, through any sort of position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, then know that you will never obtain it in its absolute sense. But in the absolute sense, the only way you will get it is through your Islam, by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Aziz, and He has all Izzah. And He gives Izzah to whom He pleases. And the only way to get the Izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to get Izzah from Him, is by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Point number three is that the da'i should look good in his appearance at all times. Be presenting towards the people. Be someone who is cheerful towards the people. The people do not want to see someone who is always frowning and is always upset, but rather they want to see someone who is good in their appearance, who smells good, who has a good fragrance coming from his mouth, and he treats the people in kindness. This is what the people want to see, and this is how you will make your da'wah more effective. And lastly, we need to remember that through all of this, and this is something I didn't mention, that our da'wah, it should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. That when we give da'wah to the people, it is not to earn the honor from mankind, it is not to seek the fame, it is not to seek anything from mankind, whether it be wealth or anything else, but rather it is to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and nothing else. So brothers and sisters, keep this in mind. And in ending off, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his salah and salams upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid, wa barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma ighfir li hayyina wa mayyitina, wa shahidina wa ghaibina, wa sagirina wa kabirina, wa dhakarina وأنثانا. وإذا أحييت أحدا منا فأحيه على الإسلام، وإذا توفيت أحدا منا فتوفاه على الإيمان. اللهم إنا نعوذ برضاك من سخطك، وبمعافاتك من عقوبتك، وبك منك، ولا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. وصلى اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وأقيم الصلاة.